With the ringing of the church bell, we welcome you to this hour of worship as it comes to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. On this third Sunday in Advent, our hymns are 621, 346, 349, 379, 386, and 849. Pastor's sermon this morning is this the Christ, and is taken from Matthew 11, verses 2 through 15. Welcome, and may our Lord bless our worship this morning. We invite you to sing with us as we sing our opening hymn, 621.
Good morning. Great to see everyone on this wintry, cold Sunday. So glad to see you. A special welcome to everybody who has tuned in online as well, online and on the radio. We're so glad that you could have a chance to worship with us this morning. And we begin with our tradition of lighting our Advent candles. We are now our third week into the Advent season, where we now light our third candle, which is the pink candle, which represents the feeling of joy. As Christians, as believers and children of God, we have so much to be joyous about. We are recipients of His grace and His love. We have this joy regardless of what fleeting, sorrowful moments that go on in life. No matter what, the woes of this world cannot overcome our sense of joy and receiving God's blessings and His gifts. And throughout our service this morning, we are going to be moving from a state of sorrow and repentance to moving into a sense and awareness of greater and deeper joy, where we will have the culmination where we actually receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ through the altar, through His sacrifice. And so with that, we begin with our opening hymn, hymn number 621. Would the congregation please stand? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Best, my dream. Confess which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you of all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our psalm for this morning is Psalm 146 as we read responsively. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my enemies.
Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation.
When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, he stands in terror.
Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind.
The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the
The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin.
The Lord will reign forever. Your God will shine to all generations. Praise the Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we implore you to hear our prayers and to lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's word. Old Testament reading for this third Sunday in Advent comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 35. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of a mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. And the haunt of jackals, where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they will not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading comes from the book of James, chapter 5. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remained steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the Alleluia verse. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised again, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I say to you, among those born of woman, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears, let him hear." This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for our hymn of the day, hymn number 346. God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our message for this morning comes from our gospel reading we heard earlier, and particularly focusing on the first six verses. But before we jump into the text, though, I want to remind us a little bit about our gospel reading read for last week. You know, last week we again saw John the Baptist, but that time we saw him preaching in the wilderness. He was calling people to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know, he's going along, he's calling people to repentance, and as he does so, he's creating a huge commotion. People are walking for miles and miles just to see and hear this man speak. They're traveling literally through empty wilderness to hear what this one man has to say. And after a few days of doing this, though, John notices a few well-known hypocrites are in the crowd. These charlatans have come to hear them. You see, he sees these Pharisees and Sadducees, people who have absolutely zero interest in actually repenting. They're just looking at John to try to trap him and see what he is all about. And so John, knowing this, he turns to them and he calls them a brood of vipers. He goes on to say that there is one who is coming who is mightier than he is. And this one's sandal straps, John says, I am not worthy to untie. And beyond that, even worse, he says there is a winnowing fork in his hand. He says he is coming to clear the threshing floor. The chaff are going to be burned in unquenchable fire. This coming one is mighty. He is worthy of honor, and he is coming with judgment and power. The image and the expectations that John has of the coming Messiah are ones of terror. The coming Christ has a winnowing fork in his hand, he says. He's coming to judge and to burn evildoers. And he will be so mighty that John isn't even worthy to carry the man's sandals. In fact, John wasn't alone in this sentiment either. It was common Jewish understanding that the Messiah, when he comes, would be this strong political figure. They understood that Christ would be one who would restore Israel back to political sovereignty, that they would be rescued from the chains and the shackles of the oppressive Roman Empire. This coming Christ was supposed to be mighty with a winnowing fork. In fact, he probably, on top of that, should have been coming also with a sword and with political strength as well. That is what they expected to see from their Messiah. But now we fast forward to this week's readings, and we see quite the change. How anticlimactic. The mighty one that was supposed to come and judge the world has put an end. He was supposed to put an end to the Roman oppression, but now, this week, the exact opposite is seen. We instead see John is in prison, and more than that, at this point, he's likely to have been in prison for well over an entire year. The man who was once proclaiming the power and might, the glory and righteousness of God, is now been enchained, and he's being held in bondage. And the one who he said was coming, you don't see the winnowing fork in his hand. You don't see a sword. You don't see unquenchable fire. You don't see power manifested itself in judgment. You don't see political strength. You don't see the fire of his anger. All John sees instead is the inside of his cell. He sees the cell walls marked by 365 markings just chiseled upon them. He sits in prison as he just counts the days go by. Where is the mighty one? That is what John must be thinking. And after so long, the news of Jesus begins to reach John in that prison. And he sends followers to ask Jesus a very simple question. It's a question that we all must ask for ourselves this morning as well. It's a question that we all must have an answer to. The question of, is Jesus the one? Is he the Christ? Is he the Savior? Is he the one who was promised long ago? That is the question that John has been wrestling with. And that's the question that we must ask for ourselves this morning. Is Jesus the Christ? This is a question all people must ask, for salvation itself hinges on this question. The gates of heaven are open and closed based on how one responds to this question. What role does Jesus play in the human history? Is he some great moral teacher and influencer, or is he actually the Christ? That's what John is asking. Is Jesus the Savior, or should we look for another? But now hear from our Savior's lips how he responds to such an inquiry. He says, "Tell John what you see. You see the blind receive sight, the lame walk, lepers are being cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are being raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them." His response is so much better than a single yes, because you don't even have to just take him at his word. His word would have been fully sufficient to give witness to what he has says and who he is. For surely the word incarnate and the truth of God cannot lie. He cannot deceive. He could have simply responded with a simple yes and let that stand. He could have let the truth just bear witness to its own. But instead, Jesus gives a much fuller response. You don't just have to take his word for it, but look at his work and his actions, because they bear witness to the truth of God. Everything that he points to, whether it's the blind receiving sight, the dead being raised, the lame walking, the lepers being cleansed, these are all foretold of the coming Messiah spoken of in Isaiah. He is indeed the Christ. You see, Jesus may not fit your expectations of who God is, but there is no doubt. For Jesus is completing and fulfilling all Old Testament prophecies. And upon this answer, Jesus concludes, "And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." Dear friends, our Christ, the Savior of man, may not fit your expectations of who God truly is. Your mental picture and your preconceived understanding of who God is may not line up with your understanding of the truth. For certainly what was true for John is the same for many of us. How many more today expect God to be someone who just simply wants them to be happy? God, they think God is just one who wants them to live as they please and to enjoy life in any manner that they can find. That he just wants you to find happiness at all costs. Happiness, but happiness is just a fleeting emotion. It's an emotion blown by the wind. It's found in the things of this world, and it can be found in the evils of the deeds of man. But joy is a lasting emotion. Joy is built on a rock, and it's held deep into the hearts of believers. True and everlasting joy is found in Christ. It's not affected by circumstances. It's not changed by the woes of this world. Joy is peace, and it's the assurance that we have favor in God's eyes, that regardless of life, we are recipients of his promises. That is true, lasting joy. And we have it in Christ, even though God may not fit our preconceived expectations. For he condemns sin and any so-called temporal happiness that it may bring. He doesn't turn a blind eye to evil, but rather he calls people to repentance. He says, "Arise and sin no more." He says, "Put put away the flesh with its sinful desires. And he says to bury the old Adam with all of his longings for wickedness. Jesus says, come, pick up your cross and follow me. And lastly, he says, you must love me more than your own father and mother. How offensive these words are to our sinful flesh. And knowing our hearts and knowing the difficulty of forfeiting the world with all of his pleasures, that is what brought Jesus to say, blessed is he. Blessed is the one who is not offended by me. For he knows this is difficult. And without God's power, an impossible task. It's a feat unattainable by the natural man. And yet, in here lies the key to lasting joy. Blessed is the man who is not offended. Blessed with joy. Blessed with paradise and with the gifts of God. No, I'm sorry, John. Indeed, the Savior has come. And I know you have served him night and day. And even now, you suffer for following him. But I'm sorry to say he won't necessarily meet your expectations. You won't have your best life now. I know it might not be what you hoped for or prayed for, nor what you expected, but blessed is he who is not offended by him. You will indeed be blessed if you stay true. Eternal joy will meet you at the end. Paradise will be handed to you by Christ himself. And every reason why Jesus doesn't meet our expectations is not a fault on God. It's not an imperfection in the Almighty, but it's a lack of understanding and godliness within our own hearts. For we serve and worship a God who loves and cares beyond all human understanding. He's more holy and perfect beyond what we can possibly comprehend. His love for sinners is too much for him to have immediately come with the winnowing fork. His longing is too great that he wants to grant life and forgiveness to sinners. He desires the repentance of sinners, that they would have a chance to be freely given paradise and the forgiveness of sins and receive his mercy. And we worship a God who loves you too much for you to be left in sin. He desires repentance, that you would live a life worthy of being called his son. He desires for you to be rescued from the world and sin and to turn to life. For God has greater plans for you. And his perfect desire is for you to live in holiness and for you to flee from the evils of this world. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we worship God with our offerings. Would the congregation please stand and join with prayer? Holy and gracious God, you are mighty to save and perfect in all of your ways. We pray that we may so take you at your word and live in faith towards your holy will. Grant us by the power of your Spirit to rejoice in the infinite love and mercy you show towards us. Give us the faith to see what is pleasing in your sight, that we may shy from evil and run to what is true, beautiful, and good. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of the church, we pray for all congregations and all the gatherings of believers. We pray especially for those congregations who are calling pastors and who are currently without a shepherd. We ask that you would continue to raise up spiritual leaders and God-fearing men who would proclaim your truth to others. Use the church to spread your life-giving word out into the world, that we may celebrate on the last day with all who have come to the knowledge of your truth. Lord, in your mercy. God of love and compassion, we give you thanks and praise for the wonderful blessings you pour out upon your children. We thank you for the ongoing recovery of Cindy as she is starting to feel much relief and healing. We also thank you for the wonderful blessings that you have poured out upon Walter and Donna over these past 60 years of marriage. We pray that you continue to bring them to a deeper love towards you and towards one another. Lord, in your mercy. Great physician, we lift up before you all who are hurting in body and soul. We pray for Marjorie Therese and Connie Maggart, who are both recovering from broken bones. We pray for Pat Duffy, as she had a new stent put in. And we pray for Millie Hines, who is recovering after a fall. Likewise, Lord, we also ask for your peace and blessings to pour out upon the family and friends of Jack Schneider. God of peace, we pray for all who hurt from the woes of this world, that they may find peace and joy in you. Regardless of their situation, Lord, we pray that they will continue to find rest from the trials of this world and not be shaken in their assurance and confidence of your mercy. And lastly, Lord, we pray further for those on our prayer list, including Carol, Romney, Melissa, Nancy, Cindy, Vicky, Neil, Dorinda, John, Erica, Judy, Mike, and Debbie. We lift up all of these, your servants, Lord. Lord, in your mercy. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we pray to you, Holy Lord, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he broke it, he gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, or take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us bless the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Amen. Be seated for our departing hymn, hymn number 849.
That's wrong.